Thank you so much. Would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, right there at the beginning? Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 1. And I do love hearing pages turn, but I'll pretend I can hear your device turning on or something else. Feel free to just turn there, however it works for you. Genesis chapter 12, and we're starting in verse 1. And when you get there, just pause, put your hand there, and let us pray. Oh God, we're grateful for this word, for this worship, and now this word, this that now connects and applies to our life. Holy Spirit, please move among us today and allow us to be able to hear your voice. Calm and quiet our hearts today and allow us to be able to hear from you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, we find the call of a man later called Abraham, here called Abram, and it starts, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing," God says. "I will allow you to be the channel through which the entire earth experiences my blessing." What an amazing and powerful invitation that God gives Abraham. He says, "You and Sarah, your lives are to be a compelling witness of love that ends up with the favor of God being experienced by even those who are not a part of your family or don't worship your God, but they will experience my blessing through you, and I will do it. I will give you success." Abraham is required to sacrifice. Notice what God says, "You must leave your land," and God promises to give him the land. "You must leave your family," which was his protection. "You must leave your father's household," which many scholars point out was his inheritance. You see, your inheritance in those days was everything you touched and had a part of, because it was all going to be passed along to you. But not only that, it was the blessing that was passed generation to generation, and God was asking him to leave it all behind. And in its place, God says, "I will give you this threefold blessing." God will bless him, it says. He will be a blessing, and he will be a channel of blessing to all those who will come after him. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey says, "We are meant to be dispensers of grace instead of collectors of grace." That we are meant to be those people that move beyond being saved by grace to living lives characterized by grace. It is then that we impact the world. Azure Hills has long been a place of grace. This church has long been a place for people to experience God and his blessing here in this place. I'd like you to stand up for a moment, everyone. Just stand to your feet, if you could. Full participation, please. You need to be moving for a little bit anyway, right? So everyone, stand to your feet, and when the statement no longer applies to you, you are welcome to sit down. I'm going to repeat the number of years, and if your involvement with this community of faith at Azure Hills includes that number, please remain standing. If at whatever point I reach a number that no longer applies to you, you can have a seat. Everyone clear on that? Thumbs up? All right, 1 year. If you have been a part of this community of faith for 1 year, stay standing. 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I invite you to keep looking around. You can. It's good at this time. 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, 45 years, 50 years. Amen. To all of those who are standing, thank you. To each one of you that have invested here, some for 50 years or maybe even up to 52, the length of our congregation's existence, all the way down to those who have been investing here for this last year, thank you. Because everything that we are doing now and every place God is about to take us is built on the sacrifice and investment and involvement that you have had up till now. So thank you. Thank you for investing here in this church and experiencing God's grace here in this place. It's been a joy to be able to be with you for 1 year now, as we can now officially stand for that first one anyway. It's been a year since my family and I moved across the country to be able to be here and to join this congregation, and it's been a joy to experience our shared life together. It's also been a joy to be able to look back and to see the history, especially as one who was coming from planting a church to now be able to learn the history of how this church was planted, to be able to read the articles and watch the videos and look at the pictures and interview members who were here for that entire time. And I can say that this has been so inspiring and moving to me as I have read and learned and studied. It has also been really encouraging and inspiring to me walking along with the board to be able to develop language for our mission and our vision and our shared values together, which is what I'm going to be sharing with you today also. But first, we have to start with the history. First, we have to know together where we came from in order to know where we are going. And it all began when Don Gray came to this campus, Azure Hills Country Club, and that was in 1964. Now, Don Gray and his wife Marjorie were the people that I first used their lessons to be able to give Bible studies when I started ministry. So now to hear and to read about his impact here with this place, you see, he walked onto this campus, Azure Hills Country Club, and he said, "I'd like to inquire about renting your facility to host an evangelistic meeting," because there was this Olympic-sized swimming pool, there was a golf course, but there was also this beautiful banquet hall where people had weddings and other events, but he saw that this would be a good spot for an evangelistic meeting. Let's share the gospel right here. And they said, "We can't rent it to you because we don't know if we're going to be around." You see, it started in 1950 as the Azure Hills Country Club, and it was successful until it fell on hard times. And so they said to him, the manager then joked with him and said, "You might not be able to rent it, we can't guarantee that, but you might buy it when we go bankrupt." And he handed his card and he said, "Let me know what happens. Give me a call." And they did call. They called him and they said, "We are going bankrupt and we would welcome you purchasing the Azure Hills Country Club." Now, they started to talk to different members that were going to be a part of this church plant, and together, those who were going to be a part of this church plant pledged $98,000 towards the purchase of the Azure Hills Country Club, and the conference made up the difference to reach the almost $500,000 that it cost to buy this place. And the church, this group of charter members numbering 288 charter members, started meeting on Loma Linda campus, and then started right here in this, on this grounds, not in this place, but on this grounds, January of 1965. And so many things started to happen as God was moving. They did hold that evangelistic meeting, and Don Gray and others participated in evangelism for adults and for young people, and by the end of the year, over 500 people had become members of the Azure Hills Church. and history, movement upon movement. In 1978, the sanctuary was added. In 1998, the ministry complex was added. In 2005, the sanctuary was remodeled. If you were here, you remember meeting in the fellowship hall during all of that time as you went through that remodel. Each step, God was moving and blessing. We were blessed to be able to have two pastors that served for a long time and one who continues to serve. Pastor Elias, who came as associate pastor here in 1980 and who has blessed so many people's lives. And he is always still here right there during first service. So he's not here this service, but he was there first service. And Pastor Alger Keough, who celebrates 18 years of service here this month. So we as a congregation experienced the blessing of all of these different ways that God worked. Don Keeney, which you'll see a picture of in a moment, and Dorothy Brown are two of those original charter members that were here from the beginning and who continue to be here. Dorothy Brown's family continues to come here and be a part of this church, now generations deep into this community of faith. I met some others after first service that said, you know, I didn't get to sign the original charter, but I came shortly after and I've been here since. You know, we are blessed to be able to have people that were still and are still a part of this congregation. We've also experienced planting two churches. In 1989, Celebration Church was planted from this church and Pastor Simpson. In 2004, now named Crosswalk Church left with 300 members, and we sent them off to start a new congregation. There are so many ways that this congregation has been able to move by the prompting of the Spirit to continue to be a blessing to many. We can look back and stand amazed at all God did. Even more amazing to me than the structures that God has allowed us to build is how people have been amazing and a part of this body. They have truly been living out, I have blessed you so that you can be a blessing. This multicultural, multi-generational family of faith was enlivened by the challenge that when they came to plant this church, there were no positions filled and everybody had to sign up for any different part of ministry if ministry was going to happen. They took on that challenge. People reflect on the social connections that were here. That Azure Hills Church was the place to be on a Saturday night, that the church was a hub of community activity, socials and games and movies and the snack bar. You know, I was at a meeting with some people from the city, and one of the guys that was there, he said, he's an adult now and he has kids, and he said, you know what, if I could dream of something, it would be my kids experiencing what I experienced at Azure Hills Church as I came to your day camps, as I learned, you know, I still have my cookbook that I learned how to make healthy recipes from. That was what this place was all about. A place for people to connect with the community. This was the place to be. Another early reflection that someone shared is that there was great diversity, but a great level of agreement, because people were on a mission together. They didn't speak discouraging words because the mission was their focus. As people visited, they were in awe of the Spirit here in this place. This church has long been a place for children and for families, a place characterized by what our theme is this fall, that we do together what we cannot do alone, that we as a body do together what we cannot do alone. That has characterized this congregation. Since 1965, there have been 9 senior pastors, with myself serving as the 10th now senior pastor. And I've been asking for God's direction and praying for each one of us as we look towards what comes next. What will this church look like in 5 years? What will it look like as we celebrate our 60th in 2025? These last chapters of Azure Hills Church are an incredible legacy of faith. A movement marked by God's leading, no different than Abraham, who was asked to step out in faith, or the Adventist pioneers as they stepped out and experienced the providential leading of God. So it was with the planting of this church, stepping out by faith and experiencing God moving in ways that are distinct and powerful. So what will this next chapter hold? It's up to us to live into this next chapter of the story, to respond to the covenant and desire of God to bless us so that we can be a blessing. So what will we be able to look back on? What will characterize this chapter of Azure Hills history? Over these last 8 months, the board has, in community with each other and in prayer, been creating some wording, the mission and vision and our core values. If you walked by this hallway, you noticed something. This is our hallway of values, and you can see those visually depicted on the walls. You can see our mission and vision in the lobby here. This language not only affirms and describes who we are as a congregation, but it also gives us a structure to guide us into the years and chapters to come. One of my favorite parts of this process was us sharing our stories. We started off with this board retreat, and everyone was there, 35 of us all gathered there, and we were sharing the ways that we have seen God at work and experienced him firsthand in this community. Someone first shared about the deacons gathering together to go to someone's home who was struggling, and they fixed up their house, they fixed up their yard, and there was an incredible experience of connecting with each other while doing this project. Someone else shared about being a mom in the mother's room and connecting with other mothers as they nursed their babies and bonded with each other. Someone else shared about Pathfinder campouts and about being around that bonfire and learning more about each other and about God as they were in nature. The stories were as unique as our board members themselves. And from these stories and from this prayer time emerged language that gives us a framework for moving forward into the future. And that's what I want to share with you today. In our families, in our church, in our schools, and in our community, we are called to live by God's grace, grow in love, and be a voice of hope. This is about an integrated life. We live a life of integrity, living and showing up in all the different realms that we interact in a consistent way. Let's unpack this for a minute. To live by God's grace. In the church, we are not known by what is wrong with us, but by who we are becoming. This is the gift of the church, to recognize the divine imprint on every person's life. We live by God's grace, the free and unmerited favor of God, not based on what we offer God, but what has been gifted to us. This grace characterizes our day in and day out living, and this is foundational to our experience here at Azure Hills Church. To grow in love. We recognize that none of us are finished. In our lives, there is constant growth. This congregation is a safe place to develop spiritual maturity, expanding our ability to give and receive love. We believe at the core of the life of a disciple is the life of growth. We never stop growing. We are lifelong learners, seeking to be stronger and more ready to embrace this adventure that we are on with Jesus Christ. To be a voice of hope. At the core of our Adventist movement is a prophetic voice characterized by hope. We have an optimistic outlook on both the future and the now. Because of the second coming of Jesus, we have hope for the future. And because of the coming of Jesus into our hearts now, we have hope for the present. This is core to who we are. At Azure Hills, we will lift up our voice of hope. We will use our voice to bless and benefit others, to teach the truth, to affirm and speak into each life. Our vision is to be a community of faith, inspiring all people towards courageous hope, generous love, and grace-filled diversity. To be a community of faith. You see, we recognize in this multicultural, multigenerational community that this is where we experience God. Paul talks about this in Ephesians 3 that I was studying this summer, that there are parts of the experience with God and love that we cannot understand alone. Those yous in Scripture are plural. We understand this in community together. And so we are a community of faith, inspiring all people. We desire our influence and our inspiration to reach those within these walls and without. Those who are black and white, male or female, gay or straight, rich or poor or middle class, conservative or progressive or somewhere in between, old or young or middle-aged. When we say all people, we mean all people. Because we believe the gospel is for all people. And it's meant to move us toward faithfulness in our living with God, toward courageous hope. Courageous hope is tenaciously calling those things that are not as if they were. This means in our own lives and in our church and in the world, we believe there is reason to expect good things. We still believe this is not the end of the story, that we're not seeing it finished yet. And that's true of our church, that's true of those we interact with, and that's true of ourselves. That God is still completing the good work that he promised to finish in us. Generous love. To be generous is to give more than necessary, more than expected, above and beyond. We desire to be a people who love freely, who share our time, our money, and ourselves with open hands and open hearts. Arthur Blinsey was a part of this process. He's on our board, and he said, this has been something that has made Azure Hill special over all the years that he's been here. Generosity. Generosity, even handing over the reins of leadership to those who are younger than us. We have done that with open hands and open hearts. Finally, grace-filled diversity. Our prayer is that we are drawn into a community so rich and so deep and so loving that it allows us to understand God's grace more fully. And our prayer is that we are so diverse and so different that we disagree and we fight, and yet we remain in fellowship with each other anyway, because we are enabled to do so by the grace of God, because we see beyond our differences. In the foyer, when you first entered today, you saw on the left-hand side our logo, our mission, and our vision. And then on the right-hand side, you saw a map artistically done of Grand Terrace. This is what we're called to, and this is where we're called to live that out. You see, the calling of God to the people of God has always been grounded in a place. Abraham's Negev, Jesus in Galilee, us in Grand Terrace, in the Inland Empire, here in this place. Abraham was told by God, all people will be blessed through you. I've blessed you so you can be a blessing. Jesus said to his followers in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Throughout history, God has always been about raising up a people, a community seeking after God's own heart and living for God, serving and loving in the place where they are. This has happened with some unlikely people in some unlikely places throughout history. But God longs to do the same thing now. What concerns us is not just what happens here on Sabbath. What concerns me is not all just how you appreciate the time together or the sermon or different parts, but how do we live on Monday? What does it look like for us to live Monday through Friday as the people of God? How is it that our lives take on the shape as the people of God, living as the people of God, wherever you are, in the gym where you work and manage, in the place that you work in the lab, in the place where you are working and communicating with patients? How does our life as the people of God take on shape in all of those places? We heard today this read, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. And I love how he says it this way, the part that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and then goes on in verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You weren't always in the place you are, but you have been blessed to be a blessing. You're in light, not darkness, so that you can point the way. You have been blessed to be a blessing. I love when I get to show up in places where our members are living this out. Two experiences from this last week. I happened upon one of our members in her work context, and I saw how the people that she manages interact with her, and it gave my heart such great joy because of that relationship, because I could see she is living out her role as the person of God in that place. I saw another one of our members, he was living with such excellence, and he clearly an expert where he is, and that excellence and the way he interacted with people shone the glory of God in that place. It was moving to me, blessed to be a blessing. It took everyone to become the Azure Hills Church. It wasn't overnight, but slowly this church organism grew and the body of Christ took shape. And so this church building itself was built in the process of that happening. Each position filled by someone, each person called to a ministry, stepping up at the right time. We are a movement. And it's time to step forward into all that is called us to be in the future. Great things have happened here. And the voice of hope comes along and whispers, and even greater things are yet to come. I long to do even more among you. If or when you ever have felt like church feels futile or small or hopeless, or if you wonder what you're contributing to God's work in the world, I pray you don't give up. Because our ministry is now, our calling is now. You are the anointed, chosen people of God, blessed to be a blessing. This is who we are. You and I have been commissioned to share the gospel here in this place, this corner of the world, in Grand Terrace, California, at the Azure Hills Church. And the church is worth giving for. The church is worth fighting for. And as we experience God's blessings, so we become a channel of grace so that everyone who comes in contact with us also experiences that blessing from God. So during the next 7 weeks, we're going to be going through each of those core values, seeing them rooted in Scripture and talking about what that looks like for us. How do we live this out? How is it that we are called to live right now in this place? You know, one of my favorite parts about the coverage, have you ever heard that quote from Mr. Rogers? Whenever there's a tragedy, look towards the heroes. Look for those who are intervening and making a difference. I always like to look at that because it has been very sad. And I have had a heavy heart as I've been praying about all the situations that are happening. And so I've been looking for the heroes, watching for those who are making a difference in the midst of so much that has been happening in the world right now. And in the wake of Hurricane Harvey, I have seen that difference and watched the stories of those volunteer boaters, including members of the so-called Cajun Navy and other similar groups, who went and patrolled throughout the flooded streets of Houston in their own boats, pulling stranded families off roofs and bringing them to shelter. The calls went out on Facebook and on other social media sites and on websites, and they responded. And I watched video after video of these people in overalls and in their own fishing boats going out to help other people, driving in from an hour or two away to make a difference where it was needed. Ben, his quote really caught me. "We're trying to do what we can," said Ben, an engineer whose house was flooded in last year's storms. He said, "I had people that I barely knew who showed up to help me. And the best way you can thank somebody for helping you is to go help somebody else. You've got to try to repay the favor when someone else is in need." In Rockland, Texas, there were 250 residents who were taking shelter in an elementary school. And what blew the news reporter of ABC News away was that it was primarily staffed by high school students. Josh was one of those, and there were so many high school students, he was chosen to be interviewed, but they slept in shifts, and they took care of the leaking roof and the needs of the people and making sure they were comfortable. And Josh said this. He said, "At the end of the day, we're family, you know, because this brings everyone together." I believe we are those heroes of like Ben and Josh who show up because we have been helped, so we show up to help in many different ways, in all different places, because we have experienced the mercy of God, because we have been led out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We show up. I'm reading this book that talks about if you were there in your coffin, What would you want to say if you were given 1 minute? It's kind of morose, I know, but it's kind of inspiring at the same time, and it's a great book, and I'm reading it right now. And I thought, what would I want to share if I were given that 1 minute? And actually, the theme of today is exactly what's core to my heart. I would say, you are blessed to be a blessing. You have something unique that God has placed in you for the world. Now join together and do what you can do together that you couldn't do alone. Because I believe as we're looking out that we are everyday heroes. And as we come all together to do together what we couldn't do alone, we will see a difference made in our lives, in our families, in the community. We will witness the difference of what God can do in and among us. God wants to live through your life. The kingdom of God is better because of your stories, your life, your experiences, your skills. You can go where I can't go. You are blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing. And the best way we can thank someone for helping us out is to go help someone else. To live by God's grace, to grow in love, and to be a voice of hope.